there's an issue that we need to address from our last episode. Because, nerd listeners, during our discussion of Star Wars The Last Jedi, Clint's comment that he, quote, hated it, was inappropriate and beneath the dignity of this program. After a thorough review of this incident, we've narrowed the causes down to improper training, lack of supervision, and a high degree of incompetence. Please accept our sincerest apologies for any inconvenience that this incident may have caused you, and know that we're working hard to ensure that situations like this never happen again. Welcome to Because Nerds, second episode. It's the 21st day of February 2018 as we record this. Happy belated Valentine's Day. I'm your host, Chris Farrell, and I'm joined by my main bay Valentine, Logan.
Hey.
And my side bitch Valentine, Clint.
Hey, that's not cool. What's up?
Clint, is there anything you'd like to say for yourself?
I will definitely do it again.
Ooh.
But I will say, I said I hated it and I was trying to be funny. I didn't hate it. It just... You know, Luke Skywalker sucking milk out of a cow's teat at the bottom of some island and fucking Furbies, you know, like all the Furbies on the Millennium Falcon.
You are getting kind of old and crotchety.
I was. I was turning into that nerd that I don't want to be, you know. This is stupid. Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
My childhood. They've ruined my childhood.
This is so stupid. Yeah, I recant my previous statement of I hated it. That was our first podcast, and I was trying to be too funny.
You're trying to be too cool in front of everybody.
You're just overreaching. Because those Furbies were fucking awesome. Blue milk is great.
You know why they had the Furbies, right? Because when they recorded, they had puffins all over the island that they couldn't make leave.
Wait, what the hell is a puffin?
It's like a penguin-looking thing.
Really?
Yeah. And so they couldn't make them leave, so they CGI'd them all into...
Furbies. We'll call them Furbies.
Yeah, just Furbies for now.
Yeah, I don't like the Furbies as much now. I didn't know that.
Okay, you know what? I almost want to call bullshit on that. I think that they cut the movie and they were like, everybody around this studio hates these stupid furry things we put in. Let's just say there were puffins on the island. It'll make people think it's okay. Because now, listen to us. We're like, oh, there were puffins on the island. It's cool. They just covered them up. I get it now. But you've never been to that island. You have no idea if there's a puffin on the island or not. I think they're bullshitting us. Screw Star Wars.
Oh, this thing's going around full circle. All right. Good enough on Star Wars then. Since the last time we talked, I got to go to WizardCon we had down here in New Orleans. That was pretty cool. I got to see Stan Lee, a.k.a. Watu the Watcher.
Did you get to attend any meetings with him?
I did. He did an hour-long talk, and so I went and caught that, and it was awesome. It was immediately followed by David Tennant, so I just stayed there. I walked right down to the front and sat down. There was a seat available. It was not VIP. I didn't let that stop me. Seats remained to be available, so I never felt I was taking it from anybody, so I was like, well, hell yeah. Just scored, and got to be right down front.
Who's going to stop you, some nerd?
Another thing, I got to meet Neil Adams, which was great because I got to tell him about our conversation with Skate Man. He got a chuckle out of that. He's like, Skate Man doesn't get any respect. He's like, everyone shits on Skate Man. But he's like, I'll tell you something cool about him is he was the inspiration for the Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
What? It doesn't make him any better. But that's pretty awesome.
He said it inspired putting the
headbands,
bandanas on and stuff like that. Now, he didn't tell me this, but thinking about it more, I think Casey Jones is probably an homage to Skate Man.
That's a stretch. Casey Jones is a hockey player on rollerblades. I guess you could kind of say he may be.
Well, whoever thought that a roller derby character was really where you should be going?
I don't know. The 80s were a hell of a time, right?
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, there's a lot of cocaine-inspired characters. I mean, they were doing headstands on mountains of that stuff. They were like, it's a comic book. Just fucking do it.
Oh, yeah.
Here's some skates.
We need a guy... we've got these four turtles that were genetically enhanced to be people turtles, and we need another character. I got one. Yeah, Jim? How about a guy with a hockey mask on rollerblades that has a hockey stick and he fights crime? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like Skate Man. Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, I like that idea. Like, Eastman and Laird are sitting down at the writing table and they're being serious, and they're like, oh, these are cool. I mean, I got these cool turtle designs, and they all got bandanas. So put them over their eyes. Like, they got holes cut out.
Just so no one recognizes who these turtles are.
I like the idea of them inviting their coked-up friend Jim to create one more character, and he's like, get this! Hockey mask! Like, you just watched...
He just watched Mighty Ducks.
You just watched Mighty Ducks.
He's like, okay, I just watched Mighty Ducks. Here, guys, look. I got one name for you. Emilio Estevez, right? He comes in. The Mighty Ducks just lost their big game, and he's super pissed. And he meets these turtles, and he puts on a mask, and he fights fucking crime. That's it, Jim.
Green light.
We're good. You're funded. Get that man some more cocaine.
We need some more skate-based characters.
Skating's the way of the future. We got to get on this skating trend now.
Got this movie called Xanadu.
Hey, guys, listen, Jim's got another idea for another movie that involves Skate Man.
Where does Jim come up with this stuff, man?
It's called Roller Derby, and it's got LL Cool J, right? And LL Cool J's on a roller derby team that's kind of edgy, and they all fucking fight in roller derby. And at the end, it ends with LL Cool J not dying.
Stamp. It's done.
I watched Roller Derby, like, or Rollerball, whatever it was, with LL Cool J. I watched that, like, a couple months ago. That movie sucked balls.
Why'd you watch it again?
I was on, like, a business trip, and I was in a hotel. It was, like, nothing on TV, and I ended up just leaving it on that while I was hanging out. It would be worth watching again to, like, do a riff tracks on it. Oh, you know what? Speaking of riff tracks, as of the recording of this podcast, Riff Tracks has a Kickstarter out to do the movie Krull. Now, I don't know if you guys remember Krull.
Fuck yeah, I remember the movie Krull. Who do you think you're talking to?
That was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Krull was awesome. He had the extremely dangerous seeming weapon.
Yeah.
Like, yes. It'll cut all your fingers off if you do it just an inch off of where it should be.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to donate to the campaign because, like, I really want to see them riff all over my favorite childhood movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm there.
All right, my other favorite movie, though, Krull and Dragon Slayer. Those two movies shaped my Dungeons & Dragons obsession when I was a kid.
Save that. I'm planning on trying to do, like, a D&D-themed episode.
Got to talk about that old turd. Isn't that the one with the Wayans brother in it? And he's talking about getting it on with the dwarf?
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about.
And then Jim popped in, and they're like, hey, guys, Jim has an awesome idea. A fucking Wayans brother named Snickerdoodle. He's going to be the dwarf fucker. I'm pretty sure that's a character in D&D, the dwarf fucker. It's its own class.
I played a dwarf fucker before, yes. I rolled a 19. Is that good enough to fuck this dwarf? You do. You fuck him.
Yeah, you fuck the dwarf.
His defense is only a 13.
You fuck him hard. Yeah, you got a hold of his beard good and tight.
You rolled a 19 on grapple. I grapple his damn beard. Oh, God. Jim, you can't play with us anymore. You're out of your mind.
Who invited Jim?
Everybody invites Jim. What are you talking about?
The dude's fun. He's just a barrel of fun.
He's got some wacky ideas, but the guy's okay.
He's always skating in the living room. Ready to play, guys.
Hey guys, get some of that cocaine and get those skates on. Come on, let's get in here and do this shit. All right, guys, let me see. I was just going to look through current events. So in the last month, just looking at stuff that came out, I think Jim pitched another one, Taken 4, but they didn't want to do a fourth one, so they just turned it into The Commuter.
Oh,
really?
Is that really what happened? Because I can see that.
That's not really what happened, but it looks like it. It looks like Liam Neeson just can't be an actor in a movie where some guy doesn't challenge him with some kind of, like, international terrorism.
It's in his contract. He's
just riding the fucking train to work. Oh, shit. Some guy is over here telling me I've got to solve a mystery on this train right now.
Just a day in the life.
I wish I could do a Liam Neeson. Is it Liam? Yeah, damn, I can't say his name. Liam Neeson impersonation, but I just can't. Can you guys do one?
That's a tricky one.
I mean, I could do a horrible one. We could just suck at it. Let's everyone try our Liam Neeson impersonation. Why has he got a hard name to say? I'm saying, I feel like I'm adding a vowel.
Right. Me too.
It's not that hard. It's Liam Neeson. Ah. Damn it. All in all, pretty easy to do. Liam Neeson.
It's
Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson.
Right.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
It's getting more Russian the more we say it too.
So I saw a clip of Liam Neeson, like from Taken 3. The clip shows how many cuts there are for him to jump over this fence.
Oh, God.
Obviously, he's going, I'm not jumping over this goddamn fence. You're going to do 35 cuts. It's like a 12-foot fence. Gets on a car first. Like, every 0.2 seconds, it cuts away. And he's like, I'm tired.
They're like, look, Mr. Neeson, we can get a stuntman to come in. And this stuntman can do it. No, I will fucking do it.
Oh, that's a good impression.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was my best.
Wait, no, it's not. No, it's not.
I'm an actor with a particular set of skills.
Wow.
Yep. Nailed it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Let's go with that one.
That was what he sounded like in Star Wars, actually. You're doing the Star Wars, Liam Neeson.
No, it's Neeson.
Neeson.
Anyway, we'll get the name right here soon.
Liam Neeson.
I'm Liam Neeson.
Now he's drunk. I'm Liam Neeson.
He's turning into Tommy Wiseau. That's what it is.
That's a pretty good. I like Tommy Wiseau, Liam Neeson. That was the best one. I think we call it Tommy Wiseau, Liam Neeson. That's it. That's the best. None of us are going to get it right.
I liked it.
I'm a man with a particular set of skills.
That's how they can make Taken 4.
Somebody bring in Jim, goddammit. We need another title for this movie.
Give Jim some cocaine. Put some roller skates on that guy and get this thing going. So, Cloverfield Paradox. There's a little bit of contention building in the room. I can feel it already. I think I'm the odd man out. I'm pretty sure that you guys like it and I don't. Anyone want to give it a start?
I'll start off. I liked it. I thought it was cool. You have to kind of excuse the bad scientific shit that goes on. We are looking at it differently from someone like you, Chris, being that you have your degrees in fucking engineering and shit.
Yes, I'm a brain surgeon rocket scientist.
Yes, yeah, you are.
Amazing combination. Very impressive.
I like the scene where the dude's arm gets cut off and it's crawling and it writes and shit. I just don't quite understand why that would work, but you can write it off as in they're in limbo. Anything can happen.
So just taking the movie issues I have are there was just weird stuff that they didn't take into account. Like one of the dumbest things was that they actually designed a spaceship that looks like it should simulate artificial gravity. And then they made them not stand on it in the right way. The way that they were standing in their ship, they should have been standing on the outer walls. But instead, it's more like they were standing on the floor spinning. So it'd be like if you were on a merry-go-round constantly.
Yeah, but does any science movie with a spaceship ever really accurately portray that?
2001.
Okay, you named the one show.
No one does it because it costs money and takes time. As much time as they spend on special effects and other shit like that, I don't see why they couldn't have just...
Put them in a centrifuge and... All right, somebody bring Jim in. All right, guys, we need a centrifuge. We're going to slam these fuckers against the wall. They're going to walk upright like they really would in space.
Yeah, get one of those fucking Gravitron carnies to come in here and we're going to get some actors walking on those walls.
I operated a Gravitron for like 12 years, man. I could do this. $200.
$200 and an 8-ball of Coke, man. I'll have those guys walking on the walls in no time.
Fuck, man. I'll have you roller skating on the goddamn walls.
You want to see me do it? I'll do it fucking right now. I don't even need the Gravitron.
I'm going to do a handstand on this wall. Oh, God.
Fucking Jim. I love Jim.
So another problem, for some reason, the world is running out of power. All energy is about to disappear.
Yeah, that part's...
I don't think it's all energy. I think it's just gas. And they're just like, look, it's really taking a long time at the gas stations. We need to shoot these fuckers into space.
That part was very inadequately explained. I kind of made that my main suspension of disbelief. It doesn't make any sense.
One thing I didn't like about it was at the end, okay, we've got 3 jumps left. We know that if we jump one more time, it'll take us back to our time. And we know again that if we jump a third time, that'll make everything right again. It's like, how the fuck did you know that?
And Al didn't even pop out of a fucking hologram door to like tell you anything. They were figuring that shit out on their own.
Right.
And my other thing then, so the world is running out of energy, which sounds like a big problem. You would not send a bunch of that emotionally unstable people up there to deal with some kind of thing like that immediately just fly off the handle getting pissed at people about things. We got to get some people up there to start this damn thing in space. We need our best fucking people we can get out there.
Do you remember that 90s show 30-something?
Yes.
I remember it, but I didn't watch it.
Right. None of us did because it's brooding, depressing. Right. It's like the cast from 30-something is on the ship.
Yeah.
I had a point to make a minute ago, too, that wasn't going to be funny, but it needed to be said, and I lost it.
Well, I got a funny point. I've been watching a lot of Ash versus Evil Dead. I go to this website and I download Ash versus Evil Dead. Now they're all on Netflix, so
yeah,
no need to download it. But I typed Ash and it's worked so far. I click on the first result and I download it and I put it on a flash drive and we watch it in the living room. And for like 14 episodes, this method did not fail me. The 15th one went very badly because I typed Ash and clicked the first one and I go to the living room. Now, Ash could be kind of a racy show and it has a lot of unexpected things that happen. So I put it in and the show opens up with a slow left pan on a woman's legs. And then it keeps going. And apparently this woman is naked. And my wife looks at me like, well, this is kind of weird. And I'm like, yeah, Ash could be weird, though. And it's had some mild nudity. So you know what? I'm just going to flip ahead like 30 minutes, make sure this is the right episode. And then hardcore fucking is what's happening now.
And your wife is like, oh, I see. You could have just asked, asshole.
My face goes just beet red and I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
That's the first thing I would say in that situation too. I don't know what's going on.
You downloaded Asses of the Evil Dead. That's what you got, man.
You fat fingered an S.
At least that had a legit way of tricking me. I'm like, oh, Ass versus Evil Dead, let's play it. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, that's awesome. So did you finish it?
No, apparently it was Ash is dirty in Hollywood or something. I immediately turned it off and immediately had to explain myself and kind of ruined the night.
We forgot to mention that this was on Valentine's Day a few days ago. I haven't been laid in a long time. I thought this would rejuvenate our marriage.
You know, I thought it would work.
I thought I'd just dive right into the hardcore porno with the old lady. I can just see you trying to pedal your way out of it. You're just like, no, babe, this is Ash versus the Evil Dead. I promise. It's gonna, no, really, this is just a racy episode. Let's just keep watching it and see what happens.
Like the violence and the blood, it's coming up. No, that's not helping.
Is that a chainsaw he's pulling out for his arm? No, that's a dildo. We're going to turn this off. I'm so sorry.
And then I had to kick the kids out of the room. And I do not have kids. I had to kick other kids out of the room that were in there for some reason. But yeah, bad situation.
Yeah.
Family night gone wrong. Good show, though. Ash versus Evil Dead. Great show.
Yeah.
All right. You guys have been looking at movies that are coming up soon. There's some really cool ones coming out. Dark Crystal. I never thought we'd see a sequel to that.
Is it a sequel?
Sequel or prequel? I think it might be prequel in the actual time frame of the story.
Okay, that's good. I was hoping, I saw that it was coming out, but I was hoping that it wasn't just a remake.
The only video I've seen was like behind the scenes stuff.
What I saw is they still use the Jim Henson Corporation to do the animation, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
You know, there was in Mississippi, there's a sign that says like birthplace of Jim Henson. Isn't he from Mississippi?
Yeah, you're right. He's from Mississippi.
Yeah, Clarksdale, I think. And they have a little museum.
That's pretty cool.
Let's see. What'd you think about the Solo trailer? Looking forward to seeing Han Solo do something more than just shoot a guy in a bar?
No.
You know, I'm looking forward to it, but I don't have high expectations. But there's a trailer out there. And so apparently the new Han Solo trailer has had a treatment, to put it, to Beastie Boys Sabotage.
The best song ever.
Right.
Yeah, anything to Sabotage makes it instantly cool.
Yeah, right. Dude, I watched the IGN breakdown of the Solo trailer, showing that in the trailer, there looks like a part where he's doing the Kessel Run. He's flying, and then there's the giant squid creature. They're thinking that's going to be the Kessel Run. So I didn't know what to think about that. Like, what did you guys picture the Kessel Run was?
You know, I never really spent a lot of time thinking about the Kessel Run, other than that it's weird that he talked about time as distance. Although I've heard a potential argument that when you start moving at relativistic speeds, you know, close to light, time and distance do shift. So actually, you could potentially talk about it being impressive that you did it at a contracted distance. But anyway, I never really thought about the perils that the Kessel Run might actually entail. That'd be interesting if that's part of the thing. Maybe that's why doing it in a shorter amount of time is better, because like you went through a spot that most people couldn't go through, you know, or something like that. You took a shortcut that was authorized, but no one was brave enough or stupid enough to try doing that.
Right. Yeah. That was my thought too, is that the reason he did it so fast is because he was willing to go by the giant creature. And that's how he can brag about it. Hey man, you don't do this. I went through the tentacle monster and I did it faster than everybody else. But it looks like in the trailer, it looks like he's being chased. Why would you be being chased in the Kessel Run? But he's also a smuggler, so it could have been like underground lingo. Like the Dukes of Hazzard, he's smuggling some cocaine, and he's flying, and he's getting chased, and he's like, oh, fuck, I ended up in the Kessel Run. Well, might as well make it now.
My opinion is, if you gave a writer a blank sheet that just said solo and said, come on, let's do it, he's like, or she, okay, well, Kessel Run is going to be in here. That's inevitable.
That's the job.
That's all your job is, Bill. God damn it.
Jim's standing off to the side, and he's like, fucking do something, man. Get this cocaine in your goddamn nose and put some skates on Han Solo. We got to get this Kessel Run going.
I think it looks pretty cool. I mean, I'm going to see it. And if they do it anything like Rogue One, where they didn't add too many silly elements.
Talk about like the droids. They were there when the Clone Wars were happening. They were there when all this happened, and it doesn't make any sense. Rogue One was cool because they were like, okay, so these are some iconic characters, right? But we're going to kill them all. So now it makes sense.
You know, one thing that always kind of bothered me about the Star Wars movies, one, I don't like the way the droids with the big long noses, like just the normal droids from like the Clone Wars. It's one thing to give them a personality. It's another thing to make them like wacky robots, you know, where they make these really stupid comments and they're just like, wah, 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 oh my God, oh no. And they get shot and they make stupid noises. Like, they work for the Empire. You think they would have programmed them to be more like badass and straightforward. But it's just like a bunch of fucking Larry Moe and Curly's running around a starship making silly noises and getting shot.
You could thank George Lucas for that.
Who's coincidentally not the George Lucas who's the director. George Lucas was the name of the guy in charge of the droid shop. He used to have a sideshow carnival gig, and he just loves stuff like that.
The Emperor was like, we need some comedy around here. So go get George.
Everybody is too tight and buttoned up around this place.
Get George Lucas.
Get that old carny George Lucas to come in here and program the droids. I want a droid to say waka waka.
I want a droid to slip around on the floor like he's in a puddle of ice all the time.
So talking about political shit, you guys like the Purge movies?
Ooh.
There's another Purge coming out, and I think it's like Purge Origins. You should check out the image. It's just like a red Make America Great Again hat, and it says The Purge Begins.
Is The Purge the first one where the kids in the masks come up to the door and there's like a family in a house?
Yeah.
I thought it was all right, but when they expound upon the whole Purge thing, because the idea of The Purge is, I think, very interesting. But the first movie, they put it to one house and one family. And it was kind of like, okay, home invasion, but not what it could be.
All right, it's Home Alone mixed with...
Home Alone, but the intruders are wearing masks and...
And they actually try to kill you.
Right, right. Yeah.
Home Alone 5, The Purge. They're back.
That's a movie I would watch.
Joe Pesci comes back and he's like, oh, never mind. I'm not going to go. I won't go there.
No, go there. Get Macaulay Culkin, and he's home alone again, but it's The Purge.
So Joe Pesci comes in, they hold him down.
So the first movie, they kind of hide and go into their safe room or whatever. But no, Purge 5, Macaulay Culkin living by himself in a big house.
Yeah, jury rigging booby traps all around the house.
Dude, that is...
I see it more of like... Macaulay Culkin's our age now. He's totally a loser. And he just has like a one-bedroom apartment. And they just show up and come in and kill him because it's just a one-bedroom apartment. So he's got nowhere else to go.
I was thinking he'd like get a hot frying pan and slap a guy in the face with it. But it's not just like it scars him anymore. He just holds it against the guy's face until he dies.
Or that's what they do to Macaulay Culkin. Like, they come in and they're like, oh, no. No. The whole movie is just about them winning. It's got to be them winning against Macaulay Culkin.
No, I think it's grown-up Kevin McAllister with The Purge, and they try to purge him, but he's like, you know what, motherfuckers? I got this shit. And he's putting hot irons on the doorknobs, and he's just booby-trapping his whole house during The Purge.
And then Joe Pesci comes in. And he ties him up, but this time he like pulls his fingernails off and he's like, you breaking my house again, you asshole. And he starts like really torturing. He does waterboarding.
Yeah.
It's like Hostel meets The Purge meets Home Alone.
Right. The Purge 5. This time he's home alone.
I like that. Purge 5. Now he's home alone. I like that. I would watch that.
Speaking of Home Alone, this was kind of funny. I was watching a video yesterday. It's if cell phones were around, they would ruin our favorite movies. And it's a bunch of trailers, like the Home Alone one. Macaulay Culkin's at home. He picks up his cell phone. He calls his mom and he's like, hey, mom, you guys forgot me. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll come back and get you. The end. And then it goes through a bunch of different movies where a cell phone would completely fuck up the whole movie. There's the Blair Witch Project. They pull out their cell phone. They're like, oh, man, we're lost. We're going to die out here. I don't know what we're going to do. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got Google Maps. We got to go that way. The end. It's pretty funny.
And that's what made a lot of movies back then so good.
I agree.
Like Rollerball. Maybe not specifically Rollerball, but movies back then had that aspect where you couldn't call somebody.
Right.
Like at any time or just get infinite amounts of resources from your phone.
Right. You're out there by yourself. You're just fucked back in the day. There's nothing to do besides rely on your skills. Yeah, you're just fucked.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Super Troopers, another good one. Getting a sequel. That was cool. They did it all on crowdfunding.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I'm totally down. I've got several coworkers. We've got an agreement to go see Super Troopers 2 when it comes out at our local theater and brewery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I've pretty much loved every Broken Lizard movie that they've done. I loved Beer Fest. I loved Super Troopers. I loved Club Dread. One of my favorite scenes is when the security guard, he's like, I got my wampin' stick. And then he immediately fucking dies. And I love how Bill Paxton was playing like Jimmy Buffett. And he's like, yeah, it's not fucking Margaritaville. It's Pina Coladaville, goddammit. But what did you guys think about all those? I mean, did you dig all the Broken Lizard movies?
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you. I think, yeah, they just got a good sense of style.
Broken Lizard's a great group, but Jay, how do you say his last name? Shandarkar
or something?
Mustache Ride.
Yeah, Mustache Ride. No, he's great. He's directed some really good episodes of TV shows and also a lot of really good movies. I can't say there's anything that he's done that I've been disappointed with.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. What was your favorite scene in Super Troopers 1?
Oh. Where he's freaking out on the mushrooms is just like a good iconic scene. Bearfucker is a pretty good scene.
Bearfucker's really good.
Hey,
Bearfucker, you need assistance.
Oh man, there's so many good scenes in that movie.
Listen, meow.
I love the little things though, like where Farva comes in and he's like, "Open bar, dude!" And they're all making fun of him and like all the little shit, like when they put Farva in the jail cell and they have to like de-louse him with all the powder. Little things like that always, got. What was the scene where the captain comes in and he's like, eventually he's like, oh, give me the goddamn soap.
I think that was the, shenanigans scene.
Yeah. Evil shenanigans.
Kind of an unfair question because I think Super Troopers, the first 15, 20 minutes are like the best opening 15, 20 minutes in cinema, period.
That was really unfair of you.
That was unfair. I agree.
So what's your favorite scene in Beer Fest?
Oh, man. Beer Fest has to be the scene under the bridge when they first come across Jay Chandrakar. They come up and he's like, all right, it's $20 for a hand job, $30 for a blow job, something for a Z job. And he's like, what's a Z job? He's like, if you don't know what a Z job is, you can't afford it.
Logan, you got one?
For Beer Fest? It's all about Landfill. I would say first, it's when they kill off Landfill's other character, because we all know they're both Landfill. So my favorite scene is when he's in the beer vat, he gets shoved into it and he's going to drown, but he just starts summoning the forces from all the planets so he can drink all this beer. And it's tragic because, you know, he can't drink all that beer. He's in a vat of beer, but he's like, I'm going to try. This is the only way I can live. And he dies in the most awesome way possible. And then secondly, when he dies, Landfill steps in and they're like, oh, you have an identical twin brother? Yeah. And I'm not as good at eating and drinking shit as he is. I'm actually better. And they're like, yeah, well, what's your name? And he's like, well, you can just call me Landfill.
That's
That's my favorite scene.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
My favorite scene is sausage warming. I love when Gam Gam comes in to give him the sausage. And she's like, hold on. First, you got to warm up the sausage just first. And she's like, starts slapping the sausages and rubbing them.
Gam Gam was a prostitute. Oh my God. He's jerking off sausage.
That was also very good.
Do you guys also see Bright is getting a sequel?
I'm all for it. I mean, I think the first movie was good. I hope they make a sequel to it.
Yeah. Training Day and the Two Towers.
They're just going to follow the Lord of the Rings storyline and mimic that exactly.
Right. Yeah, he's just trying to deliver a magic cock ring to...
to a fireplace somewhere.
No, Jim is going to be in charge of Orc Cop 2. And Jim is going to say, remember Xanadu? Olivia Newton-John? We need more skates.
Yeah. Bright 2 is going to all be on skates.
So Bright 2 opens up. Somebody else has the wand now. And he just thought it would be funny to make the wish that everybody in the world was on skates.
I want everybody skate.
Instead of paying Will Smith like $3 billion, Mariah Carey. She's head cop. She works with her partner, Orc Cop.
But she's a horribly racist Mariah Carey.
Racist Mariah Carey.
She just says like bad slang through the whole thing.
All right, let's get out of movies. I got a thing I've been wanting to talk to you guys about. So I know everyone here is a G1 Transformers fan, and everyone should have a pretty good memory of how the pilot episode goes, but I'm going to recap it here just in case someone doesn't know. When Transformers first started out, they're having a war on Cybertron, and they're running out of energy. But they're trying to find a way to go get more Energon, and the Autobots, they've got their plan. They're getting their spaceship ready. They think that they're being secret. The Decepticons don't know. They know.
They always know.
So anyway, Decepticons, they're getting ready to go intercept their ship. Autobots think, we're going to get this energy and we're going to fucking fix this war and be done. The Decepticons are like, we're about to intercept their ship and kill them all. We're going to fix this war and be done. So when they're getting ready to leave, Megatron goes to Shockwave and he's like, look, we're going to fuck up Optimus Prime right now. Once we do that, have hookers on call and get the cocaine out. We'll be back to party. We'll see you in an hour. Not verbatim what he says.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
So then they do their thing. Autobots take off thinking they're cool. Decepticons intercept them. Shit goes sideways. Next thing you know, they crash into a planet. They're stuck on Earth. They're all unconscious. A little time lapse goes on. And then the volcano that it turns out they're stuck in erupts, kind of shakes some shit up, wakes up a Decepticon. They all do their thing where they like get modified to transform to Earth vehicles. So getting to the crux of the problem here that I would like to know what you guys think about. When the Decepticons wake up, they go call home and Shockwave is there to answer. He's like, hookers are here and the cocaine's on the table. Where are you guys? And they're like, sorry, we're fucking crashed on Earth. The weird part is what they showed was a little time lapse while they crashed into that mountain between the time when it finally erupted and woke everybody up. And the screen flashes across at the bottom and says 4 million years later. So what I want to know was what the fuck was Shockwave doing for 4 million years?
Yeah, no, that's a good question.
I think he banged the hookers and did the coke. After that, a couple days passed. It's been a weekend. He hadn't heard from Megatron yet. You want to get out of the house. All the Decepticons and Autobots are gone. Now he's just kind of like chilling. I assume there's other worker bots. I think that he probably just rallied the people and created a utopian society that probably lasted 3.999 million years. Some catastrophic event happened to collapse their society. He was going back to get his shit out of the room. And right at that time, Megatron calls, Shockwave. And he's like, oh, hey, what's up, Megatron?
Now, I think Shockwave is on the planet and he's like, finally, this planet is prospering. It's a utopian society. I fixed the energy crisis. We're going to live. This is fantastic. Megatron wakes up, gets a phone call, and he's like, Shockwave, it's Megatron. And he's like, no, Megatron, really, we're cool, man. Just come back. I've solved all of the crime. I've solved the energy. No, we're on Earth. We're going to get... No, really, Megatron, we're okay, man. Just come back and hang out. No, can't do that. We need to get some fucking energy on. Shockwave is like, oh, fuck. Okay. All right, Megatron. I'll build a space bridge. And you come back, fuck.
Fucking space bridge.
Yeah. It was just a huge party to be like, we're finally done with that dick.
Yeah.
So with the cartoons and the comics, Transformers is almost as bad as X-Men with time, because X-Men is really bad with time travel.
Oh, yeah.
If an X-Man goes to Taco Bell and they didn't put sour cream on his burrito, they would go, well, let's go back to Taco Bell. And he's like, whoa, no, let's go back in time. We'll just do that. Transformers is a little different. The way I think about it is humans evolve, right? We've evolved. Like, over a few million years, we became from little single-cell organisms into the intelligent people that are talking to you on this podcast today.
And me.
Also, and Chris. Transformers, I don't think evolve.
Yeah.
They just stay the same. So Shockwave, and I love Shockwave. He's a great character.
Oh, yeah. He created a utopia.
Yep.
But I could easily see him going to the terminal and going, Megatron, everything is cool on Cybertron. And Megatron's like, well, things aren't fucking cool where I am because we're fucking at war. Are you at war? And then Shockwave just sits there. He's just like doing shit. And I could see him doing it for 4 million years. It reminds me of Marvin the Robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. They ended up time traveling and leaving him on a planet for 4 million years. And they show back up to the planet and he's like, hey, guys. And they're like, what's up, Marvin? Hitchhiker's Guide quote. I don't know what he said.
I think it was just, oh, I think you nailed it.
It would have been awesome if Megatron wakes up and he's like, oh, fuck, I got to call Shockwave. And then the next scene it pans and Shockwave's completely dead. He's just like slumped over the panel and Megatron's all, fuck, the end.
Who could have predicted?
No, here's the scene, right? Megatron wakes up and he calls Shockwave and Shockwave's dead, but he like took his own life. He like blew his own head off. He's just sitting there with like a gun in his mouth.
Well, you would mean his arm in his mouth.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. And he doesn't really have a mouth.
And he doesn't have a mouth. You got it so wrong, Clint.
I got it horribly wrong.
He does not have a mouth. And he doesn't have a gun because he is a gun.
Well, so he's fucked. He can't even kill himself. What a horrible life that dude had. 4 million fucking years. Like, the whole show should have been about Shockwave trying to kill himself. And he keeps failing at it. And he's just like, God damn it, I can't die. He like tries to ricochet shots off of like mirrors to hit himself and he can't do it. He tries to fucking jump off of cliffs, but he's a transformer. So he just lands and like breaks a leg and has to fix himself.
I read an interview with the people that wrote the Transformers movie from 1985. And it was all business.
Yeah.
So did you guys cry when Optimus died?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
So dramatic.
Oh, yeah. It was that was a hard moment, man.
And then like 13 other Autobots just freaking get it.
One of the best scenes ever, man. This was super cool because up until this point, nobody dies. You either miss or you shoot them and they go down, but they're not dead, or they eject out of a plane. They never die. The reason Transformers the movie was so impactful for me is within the first 15 minutes of the movie, they wax like half of the main cast. Like Megatron and his boys fucking just bust into their ship and just start waxing motherfuckers. That was awesome for me, man. That made me love the movie so much more.
Yeah, and like when they're on Astro Train and Megatron is almost dead and he goes, I still function. And Starscream's like, no, not for long, motherfucker. I'm throwing your ass off this fucking Astro Train.
I should have done this a long time ago, you asshole.
That's actually from the pilot. The very first scene when Megatron is telling Shockwave, you're in command while I'm gone. Starscream is standing right there with him. And he's like,
Megatron, one of these fucking days, I'm going to kill your ass and I'm going to run this fucking bitch.
But my point was, apparently the writers were like, okay, we're coming out with Gen 3 Transformers, and to make the kids buy them, we're just going to kill off as many as we can.
There was a video, I think it was Robot Chicken, where Optimus Prime is like, Daniel, get in, let's go fucking kill Megatron. And they start driving, and a Daniel doesn't get out before Prime transforms, and it fucking kills Daniel. It just like squishes him to death inside Prime, and he's like, okay. Like he like walks off and Daniel's just dead. I always thought that should have happened.
There's a webcomic called Perry Bible Fellowship where there are these obvious Autobots and they're walking, and they see a guy getting mugged, and they're like, Autobots transform, and they turn into like common vehicles, and they just drive off. I'll just transform into a ice cream truck and just drive away.
Whatever an ice cream song is.
I was going the opposite direction. I thought you were doing the outro when it's like it goes to commercial where it's like they all just transform and roll off and it's all da 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 da.
It's pretty good, Clint. How does that go again?
All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, Logan will be once again talking to us about shitty X-Men.
There are a lot of characters in the Marvel Universe, and some are bound to be shitty. This is especially true in the case of the X-Men. Today, I would like to talk about Dazzler, aka Alison Blair. Dazzler was created in the early 1980s, originally as a virtual pop artist, kind of like the gorillas we have today, only suckier. But the record company that was going to do Dazzler pulled out at the last minute, just like I do, like every night. And so we just have Dazzler the X-Man. Dazzler's basically a walking disco ball with like an EQ built in. So she can like shoot out lasers and lights to the frequency of the music that she was going to do if the record company didn't go, wow, this is a cocaine gym idea. We're going to pull out and not do this shit.
The record company was like, look, we're about to sign Jim. She's truly outrageous. We can't do a double take with Dazzler. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a really good point. She's a lot like Jim and the Holograms.
Yeah.
Except they had a robot machine that would hologram them. She has it built in. So I guess that's kind of cool that she can do what Jim does without the robot. So Dazzler, the human disco ball, sucks ass.
Agreed.
Now, the thing is, with characters like her and Jubilee, characters that have kind of shitty powers, like you try to write him into a comic and Sabretooth's coming at him and they're like, boo-boo, boo-boo, boo-boo. And he's like, well, I'm going to crush you, bitch. And they're like, oh, shit. They tend to reboot these characters into more powerful characters. So eventually Dazzler is like an Omega level mutant.
What's the difference for people that don't know? What's the difference between Dazzler and Jubilee?
So, you know why Dazzler sucks? Because she's like Jubilee, and Jubilee sucks. So, Jubilee is able to produce fireworks from her hands. That's the easiest way to put it. So she can go, pew, 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 and maybe she could blind you, or you're like, ow, that hurt.
Hey, stop it. Stop it. I'm trying to focus stop. Over here. That's really just annoying. Quit it.
So, Dazzler would have light effects. So same effect, like, oh, I'm blind, or, ooh, stop doing that. And
so in the comics, right, in the last issue that I saw, Dazzler in the comics is generally portrayed as being like an 18-year-old. Cut to the future, she's like a burnout roadie for like the Black Crows. And she's like backstage, and they're like, all right, Dazzler, you're up. Get out here and fucking get this light show going. And she's like, God damn it. All right. And she does like a big line of cocaine.
She's like, hold on, I got to put my pants back on first. Hold on.
Yeah. Hold on,
guys.
Hey, everybody, it's Dazzler. I'm ready to dazzle you.
And then she comes out. You know, you hear like a guitar chord and then she just like starts shooting some lights. But at this point, like she's really over it. So it's like a really shitty light show and people start booing. And that's like that's the comic.
Couple times she accidentally shoots a real laser at a guy. Just like vaporizes him.
She's like a heroin addict now, right? So she's kind of half nodding off because she's like doing heroin with the band backstage. And so she nods off and she accidentally shoots a guy in the crowd. There's a big lawsuit. And that's how her comic ends, is that she goes to jail for murdering a concert goer with her shitty light show.
I picture her like 20 years in the future. And they're like, Dazzler, go out there. Dazzle him. And she's like, yeah. And she goes out and boom, like there's like bursts. So she goes out. She's like, "What's up, people? I'm Dazzla." And then the music starts playing. It's really shitty music. And she starts bursting out like lights, but it's 2040. So they already have like technology for lights.
They have holograms.
They have Tupac on stage, like a 3D hologram. She's just like smoking a cigarette going, "Michael Jackson, he was all right."
What is so special about this girl's flashing lights?
She gets fired from the job because she sucks and she's been outdone. So now she lives under a bridge and she's handing out Z jobs to passerbys. And she's like,
"I used to be somebody. God damn it. I was an X-Man. I used to be able to do things with my powers.
I could dim the lights. Just watch me."
How much is it to pay you not to talk?
$5 more.
Can you stop making the lights brighter in here? Like, I'm trying to get a blowjob in my car and not get caught, and you keep fucking making it light up in here. Just dim the lights.
Your face is really ruining the mood right now.
Yeah, can we make it real dark in here? Let's just make it really dark. Could you have that power? Because this sucks.
Hey, if you could do me another favor, whatever that smell is, if you could do something about that, I'd really appreciate it.
can you light away that smell, you fucking asshole?
I can't do anything about it. How about you buy my book? I've got a book out. If you could buy my book, I will do whatever you want for 30 minutes. By the way, I'm Dazzler.
And then Dazzler, like, she cleans up her act and she goes on a nationwide book tour telling people about her life that nobody wants to buy her here.
Professor X is like, "I just got a voice message." Oh, it's fucking Dazzler. Again, asking for money.
God damn it, I thought I blocked her number.
The book is Dazzler, The Whole of My Life, The Glory Days. She's just highlighting all of her abilities. She's a highly skilled athlete, trained as a singer and actress, an accomplished dancer. She's an accomplished roller skater.
Oh,
Jim's influence on that one.
Jim totally did that one.
And the ability to convert sound into light beams. I'm pretty sure that Jim and Dazzler were dating back in the day.
Yeah, they were both doing heroin back in the late 70s together, a lot of coke. And Jim was like, "Hey guys, I got an idea. I'm gonna write my girlfriend into this story. All right, is that okay? Is that okay, Stan Lee?" And he's like, "I don't know, Jim. Do we really have a place? But no, really, she's gonna have light powers, man. And like, she's gonna fucking be so cool. Like, my girlfriend is she's super hot and she's kind of almost Asian or something. I don't know, but she's gonna be awesome." And he's like,
"Jim, your ideas are really all the same. I don't know. It's always just blow and fucking roller skates.
That's what people want, man. That's what fucking people want. You don't get it. God damn it, Stan Lee.
Roller skates are the way of the future, man. I'm telling you, this is what it's all about."
Who doesn't like cocaine and roller skates, you old fuck? I can picture too, like, so like the X-Men kick Dazzler out and she's like on the streets and she's like, you know, blowing dudes for money. And like every time Professor X goes into Cerebro to like, you know, some new mission comes up and he's like, "I must go into Cerebro to find this." And all of a sudden she keeps popping into his head like she's trying to call him in Cerebro. And he's like, "God damn it, Dazzler. I said never to contact me here again." She's like, no, really. Come on, daddy. I just need a hit. Like, let me back into the X-Men. And he's like, "Please don't call me here again, Dazzler.
God. Oh, come on. Mama needs a new pair of skates."
Okay. Well, to conclude, Dazzler is an X-Man that occasionally contacts the Professor X Xavier to get money for a hit. No, wait, that was bad. To conclude, Dazzler is a shitty X-Man who is addicted to drugs and needs to get her shit together and needs to stop contacting Professor Xavier for money.
And if she could lose this phone number, we'd really appreciate it. All right. So once we come back from this next break, it'll be time to discuss Killing Batman once again with Clint. We'll be right back.
today's segment of Killing Batman, this isn't going to be very funny. It's actually a very tragic story and a very odd story. But today's character for Killing Batman.
That's hilarious.
I'm already just off the rails laughing.
Is a little known character called Shadowhawk. So Shadowhawk basically was created back in 1992. And he was part of Image Comics in the second, in Image Comics with Rob Liefeld. We all know, like, Youngblood. She was part of the Youngblood kind of storyline. Originally, Shadowhawk was used for the Marvel character Starhawk, but they changed him up and then Image Comics took him and now he's Shadowhawk. So I'm going to go ahead and read his fictional character biography. This is where it gets kind of tragic.
Okay.
And now keep in mind, this is Killing Batman. So at any given point, this guy can kill Batman. We all know he can kill Batman.
Sure.
Paul Johnstone grew up as a troubled youth in Harlem, New York City. He avoided a life of crime due in part to the encouragement of a man named Richard Woodrow, who was originally assigned as a caseworker to Paul when he was caught stealing and married his mother, becoming a stepfather. So right off the bat, this guy was caught stealing and his social worker married his mom. So right there, he's already fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Then he becomes a lawyer and his life's going really well. His half brother, Hojo, H-O-J-O,
normal name,
had massive success in college, moved to Wall Street, and developed a coke and crack addiction.
Like you do.
So his brother gets addicted to coke and crack. Another one of Jim's ideas. He was like, look, all right, Shadowhawk has a brother named Hojo, right? Look, man, and Hojo gets, he's like super cool. He's in college and he's a lawyer now and he gets addicted to coke and crack. So one day, using Hojo, some gangsters tried to leverage him into letting their men off. Gangsters come up and they're like, hey, man, you know what? You're a lawyer. You need to get our pals off because they're going to get in trouble for this crime they did. And Hojo and Paul, his brother, refuse. So the bad guys sneak into his house at night and inject him with HIV. That is the most fucked up thing that can happen to anybody in any character. They climb in his house and inject him with AIDS, which is terrible, right? So that's not it, though.
Oh, yeah. Back in the 90s, when those gangs were breaking into people's houses and injecting them with AIDS was just tragic. I hated those days.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier being addicted to cocaine and crack. I would say that would be like being addicted to beer and liquor. Addicted to cocaine. Also crack. But I would prefer crack if you had it. I'll take cocaine, though.
And the story continues, though. The story continues on this guy.
I don't know. I think it's over.
No, that's not even it. That's not even it. All right. So he's HIV positive, and he descends into depression, and he's walking the streets to clear his head one day, and he gets threatened by another group of gang members. Back in the day, there was a lot of gang members out on the streets just threatening people and giving them AIDS. It's crazy. So he goes berserk, and he attacks them and kills them all, but they leave him in the hospital. All right. So he's in the hospital. And this other cop comes to visit him in the hospital and then develops somehow into a relationship where she creates an exoskeleton suit of armor for him so he can fight because he's getting real weak with his AIDS, right?
Like cops do.
I think I already predict how he's going to kill Batman, but keep going.
Yeah, you might see it coming. So, yeah, so he starts calling himself Shadowhawk. So basically, he's fighting crime now with Shadowhawk. He's got his suit of armor. He's HIV positive. And he names himself Shadowhawk after, well, the reason he names himself Shadowhawk is not because, like Batman, you would think he lives in the shadows and he flies like a hawk. No, he got his name because his racist arch nemesis name was Hawk Shadow. So he wanted to piss off his arch nemesis by going, your name is Hawk Shadow, you racist piece of shit. I'm going to be Shadowhawk. Fuck you.
That is some serious trolling right there. That is committed to trolling.
It really is. That was the first trolling incident.
That's awesome.
So he bears the mantle Shadowhawk, starts fighting crime. He promises to take back the night, but he can't really fight unless he keeps his HIV pills in his fanny pack that he keeps pills in. And these HIV pills allow him to continue to fight crime, and it kind of keeps the HIV at low levels. So
hold on. So this guy had, so the guy's got pills that keep his HIV in check, and that was in 1992?
Yeah, 1992.
And he didn't want to share that with the world?
No.
He was like, I'm cool. I got this cure.
He's got these pills.
I got the cure for HIV.
He's like, fuck you, I'm Shadowhawk. I don't have to share anything with you.
All right.
Image Comics, motherfucker. You get the good pills.
Yep. So basically, getting towards the end of the of Shadowhawk's background, he eventually joins a team, the Wildcats, and he starts to become like, I'm part of a team now. They're going to help me search for a cure. They all have superpowers. They're going to help me get over this HIV thing. Things are going to go really, really well. In his last final hurrah, he has to go rescue his mother from being attacked by his arch nemesis, the racist Hawk Shadow. So Hawk Shadow captures his mom. And after the fight, he just gets pummeled, goes into the hospital, and dies of AIDS. That's how he goes out. So Shadowhawk is one of the most tragic fucking superheroes of all time. Now, how he can kill Batman, I think we all know where this is going. I don't even know if I need to say it. But I think Batman dies of HIV.
Oh, my God.
Because Batman, as we all know, sucks. And he's just a normal dude.
His mouth is exposed. So, yeah. I'm not even sure if it went down the way you said. I think that Alfred was probably looking at Bruce and being like, Master Wayne, you need to get out of the house more. There's these new apps on the phones where you can check for people with similar likes to you and personality types. You could probably find someone that you could live a life with that does similar things. Here, look, here's a young guy named Shadowhawk. He seems very much like you. You should check him out.
And it cuts to like a month later and he's like, bad computer. Hey, bad computer, what's going on? And he's like, Batman, I got some news for you, man. I just ran a scan and I think you've got HIV. And he's like, what?
So let's say Shadowhawk exposes him to So let's say Shadowhawk exposes him to HIV.
Yeah.
All right. Every day, Batman wakes up, goes to the back computer, and he's like, what's up, back computer? And the back computer's like, nothing, except you have AIDS.
You're dying of AIDS, man.
You're dying of AIDS. He's like, well, I know that. And he goes out, he beats the Joker. And he comes back, he goes to sleep, he wakes up, he goes back to the back computer, bloop, 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 back computer, what am I like? Well, you've got AIDS, but otherwise you're pretty cool.
And like, all of Batman's villains now are like very sympathetic and they don't want to fight him anymore. And the Joker, he shows up and he's like, Joker, where's Rachel? And he's like, Batman, he's... She's in her apartment. I'm not going to fight you anymore, man. Like, this is really sad. Like, you've got AIDS. Like, I'm not going to fucking fight you. Oh, he's like, come on, fight me.
You need to go back home and rest, Batman. You look really bad.
Batman, we've had a meeting at the League of Bad Justice guys, and we've all decided to boycott fighting you. So please stop calling us. Like, we're just done. He's like, God damn it.
Okay. I didn't believe it. At the beginning of killing Batman, that this is where it would go. I was like, that would be kind of funny, but no. But no, that's,
Yeah, it's a horrible story. But I mean, but that really happened. The tragic story of Shadowhawk. And I know they were trying to bring light to a very negative thing back in the 90s and 80s. But yeah, thousands of kids probably read this comic book and their dreams were pretty much crushed. But that's how he kills Batman.
Clint. Look, I know you dislike Batman.
I really do.
And last episode, you said Skate Man killed him. And we came up with ways for that to happen, and I thought it was fun. But like I said, I know you hate Batman. And I don't think you could have come up with a more perfect villain than an HIV. Oh, God. HIV positive villain.
Right.
Here's another one. From the Wikipedia page. Early on, Shadowhawk's actions against criminals were brutal. He would catch violent criminals in the act and break their spines. And I think we all know that Batman's spine is one of his fragile points.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was really the weakness that got Batman, was his stupid spine. You would think he would have guarded it better.
Damn it, Alfred. I thought I told you to put a metal rod in my suit, so if somebody tries to break my back, it stops it from happening, but you didn't do that. And now my fucking back is broken again.
Batman's like, ah, I'm fucking sick of fucking dogs, Alfred. These fucking dogs. Alfred's like, I've got you, Batman. You are now protected from dogs. Oh, God, he fucking broke my back. That fucking hurt.
It hurt like shit, but I'll get better. And I'll climb out of this hole, and I will kill the person that was born here.
All right.
I'm just saying, you think this guy would protect his mouth and his back? Like, I mean, seriously, what kind of vigilante are you leaving yourself so exposed?
Seriously, you're a super millionaire guy. You can't come up with a face mask. You can't come up with something else that protects your goddamn face. I mean, really, Batman should have missing teeth. Like, I can understand, okay, maybe he doesn't cover his mouth, but he should have, like, a horribly misshapen mouth and missing teeth.
Wait, now I'm picturing, like, I'm Batman, and he's, like, missing most of his teeth.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm Batman, not a homeless person, because I have armor and a headset.
I gotta eat this applesauce through a straw because I can't chew my food well.
That damn Joker.
He punched me square in the mouth. I didn't see it coming. Knocked out my front teeth.
If only I didn't have this horrible snacking addiction, I could have put a faceplate that would have covered my mouth.
If I wasn't so addicted to Z jobs under the Fifth Street Bridge, I would have put something over my mouth, but it's so easily accessible. Dazzler under the bridge gives an awesome Z job. So I had to leave my mouth exposed.
You don't know how much it is? Then you can't afford it. You
can't afford it. But I can afford it because I'm Bruce Batman.
Oh, there's the bat signal. Woo! Let's go.
Hey, it's the bat signal. I got to go. And by the way, I got AIDS. Bye.
Sorry, Dazzler.
I'm Batman and I eat ass.
Hey, listeners. Looks like we find ourselves in a little situation here once again. Here's an apology. Hey, Because Nerd listeners, we once again feel the need to apologize for our behavior today. We feel that we probably came on a little stronger than intended and ultimately ended up just being kind of creepy. We didn't mean to make you uncomfortable, and we're sorry for putting you under any undue pressure. If you have any further questions or comments regarding this or any other matters, please feel free to discuss it with us by email at becausenerdpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, Facebook, or at our website, becausenerd.com. Because Nerd, out. All right.
Also, Chris, do it one more time.
Just do the apology one more time?
Do the same thing one more time.
Okay. Hey, Because Nerd listeners, we once again feel the need to apologize for our behavior today. We feel that we probably came on a little stronger than intended and ultimately ended up just kind of being creepy. We didn't mean to make you uncomfortable, and we're sorry for putting you under any undue pressure. If you have any further questions regarding this or any other matter, please feel free to discuss it with us by email at becausenerdpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter, Facebook, or on our website, becausenerd.com. Because Nerd, out. Boom.
Almost. I thought it was a good job, but you messed up on a couple of words still, so.
So do it again.
If you could do that again. I mean, I'm sure you got it this time.
But this time, do it with an English accent.
Hey, governor. We once again feel we need to apologize for our behavior today.
Start now.
Hey, Because Nerd listeners, we once again feel the need to apologize for our behavior today.
All right. No. Stop, Chris. Toothless Batman, go.
Hey, Because Nerd listeners, we once again feel we need to apologize for our behavior today. We feel we probably came on a little stronger than intended and ultimately just kind of ended up being creepy. We didn't mean to make you uncomfortable, but we're sorry for putting you under any undue pressure. If you have any further questions regarding this or any other matter, please feel free to discuss it with us by email, Facebook, Twitter, or at our website. Thank you.
There you go. That was a perfect toothless Batman. That was it right there.
Alternate endings. I love it.
I love how he's slightly slower, like a slightly southern, slower toothless Batman.
I don't know why it was from
Because Nerd, we don't give a fuck.
Thank you for listening to Because Nerd. If you liked it, make sure to subscribe, share, rate, or comment. And check out becausenerd.com for even more cool shit. And if the spirit has truly moved you, you can pledge your support directly to us on Patreon. Because Nerd is a production of Scriptic Media.